This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
All right, Indie Comic Book Noise listeners, we're back with a new episode on the countdown to 400. Yes, it's
Indie,
it's Indie Comic Book Noise, your favorite podcast for talking all things independent comics, not big two. And we are today comprised of WWX Kev. Say hi, Kev.
Hello.
Also joining him in Canada, the Ottawa Otter, Phil.
Hey, everybody.
And then me, Andrew, the LA Rabbit. Super Steve is off because he has a family and people who love him and want to spend time with him. But the three of us are here.
Oh, great. Comics. Where's my rope?
Yeah. I'm just surrounded by comics, Andrew. Just comics.
Comics are our family. Comics love us even though no one else does. We're the podcast sponsored by nobody. Yay! But we are part of the Deliberate Noise Network. We are on Twitter, Indie Comic Book N. If you want to get a backlog of old episodes that go past the iTunes or Stitcher, I don't know if we're on Stitcher, but whatever other way, you can go to our website, Indie Comic Book Noise, that has all the episodes going back to even, gasp, before we were hosts of the show. Although I don't know who wants to go back that far.
I don't even know what a Stitcher is.
It's a podcast. It's like iTunes, but you can do it on different devices.
That was
devices.
Another one of those social media things like Twitter.
No, it's a way to listen to podcasts and collect them. I have it on my phone because while I have an iPod, I also have an Android phone. I'm a man of contradictions.
Whoa. That's like reading Marvel and DC or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, what's with that?
And we are also the gang of merry idiots along with Steve who hosts the Marvel Noise podcast. Marvel Noise is all ages, but this show, as you heard from the intro, may get a little blue. I don't really think it's all that offensive, generally. I mean, unless you're offended by some strong language here or there, but we're pretty mellow guys. I mean, we don't say intentionally offensive things.
You talked about me last episode.
Yeah, that's because you weren't here. You were off hustling comics.
Because this is turning into the Phil and Andrew show.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, no one wants that.
The guys want to hear more of you sometimes.
So, Kevin, we hear you've been off doing hustling books and meeting people. What's the word on the street from up north?
Yeah, I sold a few books. Not a whole lot of things. Not a whole lot of indie stuff to talk about on that front.
Well, that's all right. Maybe. You can talk about selling Marvel. I mean, you know, what's more indie than dumping your Marvel comics?
Yeah. I dumped. I shouldn't say dumped. It wasn't really dumping. It was
fire sale time. Every comic must go. Comics by the pound. Oh, sorry, Europe and Canada. Comics by the metric ton.
He also accepts maple syrup.
No, it was just the usual, like, stuff I thought would sell, sold. Like, I'd sold, a Hush trade, Dark Knight Returns trade, stuff like that. One Piece. Hey, that's kind of indie, right? A big, giant Japanese manga company, that's not the big two. So, yeah, you know, I had 3-in-1 volume One Piece, stuff like that. It was, you know, usual stuff. Yeah.
Did you sell good comics?
Depends, I guess. Sold some New Mutants.
So are these
sold
like
some Uncle Scrooge?
So are these? Are you doing like when you talk about this stuff? Are these like reader copies, first printings? Like, do people care about that sort of stuff, or what's your market, so to speak?
This was fairly general, so I don't think people cared too much. Like, I even sold some 50 cent comics because I just have a bunch of like old, like Gold Keys or Marvels that are like really beat up, so I basically just threw them in a box and sold them for 50 cents a piece. Because before, at another con, I just said, like, name a price, And this time I was just like, I'll just put 50 cents on it. Because a lot of yard sailors were there. So I was just like, I didn't bring anything high priced, right? I was just like, well, I'm only, because I was trying to figure out what, like 6 to 8 boxes to bring. And then eventually I'm just like, it's a yard sale. Everyone's going to be yard sailing. Although there were quite a few vendors there, which is weird. I didn't expect to see so many vendors. Wait, but I just bought
long boxes or short boxes?
Short boxes.
Oh, good.
Long boxes are for home. I don't bring short boxes to any show because that's just killer. And if when you're wheeling them in to wherever you're going, like it just doesn't work out.
Well,
I only had comics that were $1 to $3.
As I tell people,
and then grades are, you know, whatever.
I'm a big proponent. I tell everyone move to short boxes, even for home.
Yeah.
You're going to reach an age where you're not going to want to be swinging those boxes around. Happened to me a few years ago. I was moving a long box and tweaked my back, and I said, I kept one or two, but I move most everything to short boxes. I mean, they fit in more places. You're not going to kill yourself as much. I'm a huge fan of the short box. I guess if you have a dedicated storage where you're never going to move the boxes, they're fine, but I don't know. I just think that short boxes are the wave of the future unless you like I said, throwing your back out.
I use those drawer boxes. I like those ones.
I have a bunch of those, but I have them in the short box style.
Yeah, I think that would be good. Because I have some long boxes, but they're like really old and they've been taped up. And sometimes they're like pretty high on a shelf. So you can't really get into them when they're on the shelf, and it's just you'd have to take them down, and I'm like, this is just a nightmare.
I see some scenario years in the future where Kevin's crushed to death by a long box in his old age.
Not if he keeps selling his collection.
I still have a collection.
And he buys as many. You buy a lot of stuff, right, Kevin? You flip right around.
That's what I was worried. I thought you were going to stop buying stuff. But
No. It's funny that since the exchange rate is bad right now, like I don't find as many deals on trades, so I find like I buy way more single issues now, which is crazy. But you know, you go with the flow, I guess.
It is kind of interesting to think of you talked about this, I think, on another show too, how your collecting is influenced by the exchange rate, and you don't have quite the same relationship to, you know, for you, prices don't just go linearly. They go up and down.
I know, because you're just seeing, a price is increased over like 30 years or whatever. And I'm like, not for us. Yeah. So it's strange. Like at some point we're like, whoa, this is a super discount.
I wouldn't take that, but I guess, I don't know. I guess maybe if I start buying study group comics or something, I'll have to pay attention to the exchange rate.
Yeah, that's how indie comics are, right? Like, they're not necessarily overpriced, but you're paying like $7 for an issue or something that's not even full size. But then you're buying all this weird, like, stuff that has, I don't know, different materials and everything, too. Like, it's not traditional. Hey, guess where I went, Andrew? Excellent segue.
Where did you go?
I went to TCAF, Toronto Comic Arts Festival.
Look at you with your fancy art comics. All right. Settle down, Phil. We're going to get lectured about how evil regular Big Two comics are and how you can only experience the true joy with art comics. All right, Kevin. Let's have it.
Oh, there's more than art comics there. It's funny. This year they put like all the Image comics in a separate venue. So if you didn't think Image comics were like indie comics, you could totally skip that. It's kind of funny.
Why would you want to do that? They put out some of the best stuff now.
I know. It's just funny that like they use up, I guess like they're still at 4 floors of the library, and then like down the street at this like club, I guess they have like concerts and other banquet gatherings there. It's a little dark there though in the building. It's not like full lighting and everything. They had like tables and tables of image creators, and also the famous thing where you can like sit down and watch someone draw. So that was kind of cool.
So let's get a little bit of understanding here. So this is TCAF is set in a library and other buildings, or just the one library?
It's spread out a bit. It's kind of strange. Like, it's free to attend because they want to promote, like, comics for everyone. So it's not like some kind of convention where you go there to see your Hollywood stars and you have to keep on paying for access and everything. So it's the library is the main event, and they have some panel rooms. And, like, usually some traveling, like, exhibition from some other country. This year it was, like, German comics. So they sort of had, like, an art gallery type of thing, too, where you could see, like, the latest hip German comics, I guess. It was just strange looking at all these different comics, like, all these different varieties from, like, mainstream superhero comics over there to, like, real artsy indie stuff. Then you have the official convention hotel, which also has like some other panel rooms, and then there's like a couple restaurants and bars down another street where the other panels take place, and then the Image Comics building place.
And is this
and there's sometimes another venue too for like kids or like other events, like, you know, parties and everything.
So is this like a one day, 2 day, 3 day?
Technically 3 days, but the first day is like for librarians and industry stuff.
It's library. Isn't every day for librarians?
Like, I mean, I guess there's like one kickoff event on the Friday for like the general public and stuff like that. But I think that day is generally like more not business, but you know what I mean? Like it's not like a general day, like a Saturday and Sunday where the library is open and everyone is there.
Well, I would imagine if you're a regular patron and you see thousands of indie comic book creators, you're probably like, you know what, I'm going to pick up my book tomorrow. I mean, it's got to be, I assume it's pretty crowded.
It can get pretty bad. It's also interesting now that they have the TCAF shop in the library. So they just had like a temporary location before, but now it's like a permanent location. So if you want to go pick up some comics or whatever.
It obviously does really well for them then, I guess.
Yeah, and it helps support the show, so that's pretty awesome too.
So if it's all ages, like where are all the filthy adult comics?
They're just randomly around. I mean, like there's like 500 people there, so eventually, like you'll just run into, like whatever. Like of course you, like something might not be on full display if someone guts are being ripped out of a body or whatever, you know.
Yeah, because it's not like indie comics. They traditionally have some pretty hard-edged stuff, so.
Yeah. So I think people think about what to display in full view as well.
Well, that's kind of disappointing. I was kind of hoping they were wildly inappropriate.
I think you can kind of tell. And so, most times. I don't know, sometimes you'll pick up a book, right? And then you'll just be flipping through and you'll be like, whoa, that's I'm not into that.
Yeah, I want little Jimmy to have to ask his parents some uncomfortable questions after walking through the comic book aisle.
Exactly, and then you have that moment where you're flipping through something, but then you're like not going to buy it, and you got to put it back down on the table, and then you're like, let's move on to the next table.
Little Jimmy's probably going to end up a crackhead anyway, so he might as well see some tits. What's it going to hurt?
Yeah, give the kid a thrill, but I just like that idea of like, oh, we're going to go to the library and look at comics, Jimmy. And then, you know, some of your more, you know, alternative stuff flops out. And
but
Jimmy's mind is blown.
Comic convention like that is probably not really a good place for little Jimmy's.
Well, his parents probably should be looking at the comics first, right?
Yeah, but they're comics. They're thinking it's like Superman and Batman.
Yeah, but not one like that. Not an indie convention, though.
Yeah, but they don't know any better.
Well, they're going to be really surprised when there's only a certain like percentage of that stuff. They'll be like, what are these? Are these comics? Like, how come there's every different kind of thing here? Well, where are the superheroes?
They're going to be like, oh, let's get Jimmy a little Heathcliff and, you know, some Asterix or something.
Hey, guess what I did got, though? No. Like, I picked up some comics last year from Ben Sears. And then this year, I was just like, oh, I'm gonna bring some Marvel, inject some Marvel into this TCAP. So I got him to do a commission of Baron Zemo.
Nice. I thought you were gonna say
Helmet's father, not all World War II
with the skirt and everything,
the fur around the neck and everything. So I was like, yes, I'm getting a Marvel commission at an indie type of show.
I thought you were going to say you set up, you got a table, and you were just hawking your old Marvel comics to pretending they were yours. Yeah, I worked on The Invaders. Yeah, I know. I look a lot younger than I should be, you know.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, there's no vendors. There's just, you know, like a table for the creators, or then there's publishers.
So Image, the publisher, was there?
Pretty much, yeah. They just had like a long line of tables along one side with all their books there.
What creators did they have? Anybody?
Oh, so many. So many creators. You want me to list them all off? Like,
no, just give me two highlights.
Phil knows it's better than to not give you open-ended questions.
Yeah. In my head, I should have said one, but it was too late.
I'm thinking what would be the weirdest thing for
well, just two good guys there that were there. For a woman.
Okay, this thing is taking a long time to load. Damn you, internet! You're boiling me.
I'm taking the question back.
There was a time limit.
Yeah, I'm taking the fucking question back.
Well, I'll give you this then. The creators of Monstrous were there.
Oh, nice.
Okay, well that's awesome. Good team. You can't remember their names. This is funny. I'm finding this a little funny.
It's Marjorie, Lou, and Tanaka, something like that.
Good job, old man.
Well, I'm probably hideously mispronouncing.
Yeah, that's what I think so. But, what about Charlie Atlard?
Oh, cool. He was there too. That's nice.
Takeda.
Although he hasn't done an indie book in a bit, I don't think, because he's been so busy with the Silver Surfer.
But The Walking Dead.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking of someone else.
Like. So did you go to any of the panels, Kevin?
No, I wasn't. Like I usually get dragged to a panel or go to a panel, but not this year. I don't know. It's just like I hardly met up with anyone. Like usually I like see someone and it's like I don't know where they were. And then it was like 4 o'clock when they said, "Hey, I'm here," and I'm like, "I'm already gone."
So
like it was a weird event to go and not be hanging around with a bunch of people.
So no Gobo this year.
No. Sadly, no. And then someone else that I might hang out with, like, they were at the Ottawa Comic Con that weekend, which I'm thinking was probably a different audience. But I know some people are like, your cons are on the same weekend. And I'm like, I don't really think they're overlapping anyways.
No, it's that all here. It's all photo.
That happens all the time down here. There's always, like, you can't have a weekend that doesn't have usually they're not in the same town, but they're always, sometimes they are. And it's just,
yeah.
I think the problem is there's so few venues and people have to book these shows so far ahead of time that there's just no way to, because it always kind of bothers me that I'm like, ugh, you have to book it the same weekend as this, but there's no getting around it. Like, there's just too many of these things. Well, I mean, I guess that's a good problem to have.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure the libraries, they have that set for like locked in forever, right? It's usually on Mother's Day weekend. So
Oh, man, that's going to bum the hell out of a lot of mothers. Like, oh, what are we doing for my special day? Oh, going to some lame-ass comic book thing?
No, no. They say it's they like to counter-program Mother's Day. They're like, it's mothers-friendly. Bring your mothers.
Yeah, so mom can look at a bunch of hardcore, filthy, independent comic books about young men working dead-end jobs and masturbating constantly.
Well, in this day and age, there's a lot of mothers that do read comic books anyway.
They want the filthy comics, Andrew.
Well, who doesn't like some filthy comics? And speaking of filthy comics, let's segue over to Phil. Phil, what have you got for us?
I haven't even
they don't even want to hear my books.
See how I work that? Well, we'll get back to you, Kevin, but you've been talking for a while.
Jesus. Besides,
it was the he filthy likes, ghost
likes
of
the
Phil.
Limelight. All right, yeah. I got a big stack here of them. I'll just go through them very quickly.
Rapid fire.
Oh, I just doubled my stack. All right, so I've been reading a lot of good stuff lately, but I've been kind of like sucked in long runs. But some of the like new single issues and stuff I've read so far, I'll just go through them. Action Lab, Spencer and Locke. Have you guys heard of that one?
Is that the Calvin and Hobbes?
Yeah, it's that one. Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's Calvin and Hobbes, but grown up. And it's so cool the way it's done. Because they'll have, like, comic strips once in a while, just like Calvin and Hobbes when they're young like that. Or they'll be, like, basically it's Calvin, the Calvin character is a detective. So it's him and a giant panther, I think it is, in a trench coat and everything going around solving cases. But sometimes there'll be scenes where you'll see the beaten up stuffed animal in the chair. Like, it kind of goes back and forth like that a bit, so you know that it is in his head. Just like Alvin and Hobbes, and it's them going after a missing, kidnapped girl. And yeah, it's just really fun, and the way it's done, the art. It's after Voracious, this is probably my second favorite, I would say, Action Lab book.
Okay, I get the Locke reference, but Spencer? Is that some...
What's the Locke reference? What's that for?
Oh, it's the philosopher, John Locke. Like Calvin and Hobbes, I think we're supposed to be, you know... Calvin and Hot are two philosophers.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was thinking Spencer and Locke. Well, I know John Locke is a famous philosopher.
Spencer isn't a very philosophy type name.
I wonder if Spencer is supposed to be a historical reference. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what is it? John Hobbes and John Calvin is a Calvinism. That's where that comes from. And Hobbes was, I think, the wasn't he like the nature is the way. You know, man is best as nature. Was he the exact opposite, that life is savage and brutal and short? Can't remember any of them ones. But, yeah, those are sort of the underpinning kind of highbrow joke to it all.
So much information, brain smoking. You made me learn too much.
Well, we're basically an educational podcast now.
As if you remember all that stuff. I'd never pick something like that up.
Oh, I don't. Sadly, my memory works fairly sporadically, so I can't remember, you know, yesterday or anything, but I have jingles from commercials I watched when I was five. So.
I thought you were going to say you read Action Philosophers or something, and that's how you know that.
Oh, I bet you they must have. Ooh, that's what I can check to see, to bone up on my... Calvinism and Hobbes and Locke. Yeah, I just don't know who Spencer is.
Find out who Spencer is.
Exactly. That's my mission.
All right. Wait, Nick Spencer? What?
Nope. Next is from Titan One Studios. Titan One Studios, I guess that's separate from Titan, or I'm not sure. But this one's called Zomben. It's a 4-issue miniseries. Basically about a world where there was this like big epidemic of zombies, alien invasion, robots, I think, and like giant squid monsters. And this is afterwards when society is kind of back to normal. And it's about this one kid that was bitten then in the war. And so he's a zombie, but they can kind of change back and forth, some of them. And so that's what he does. So him and his parents pretend he's normal, and they move town to town whenever... Everyone his age is getting older, and they can't hide it anymore. And it's just a tale of him and a new friend he makes in the town they move to, and a lot of those things from the war are starting to come back, it looks like the robots and stuff like that. And it's just a really fun and well-drawn comic, and I really highly recommend that one too.
Is that a newer book, Phil?
Yeah, that's brand new. I haven't seen issue 2 yet.
Wow, it's hard to believe, the zombie thing. You think that's a...
I know, it's really, yeah.
I got a pitch. It's about zombies. I don't think anyone's...
It's true, but this is one of the fun ones, though. But
I'm sure it's a good... It's just funny stuff. That you're thinking, hey, I got an idea for a zombie comic.
Mm.
It'll be the only zombie comic on the shelf.
What was that zombie one we read? The Zombilium? Or... You remember this, Andrew?
The one with it was like in a... Was that the one with the theme park?
Yeah. I saw that on display on someone's table, and I was like, is that... I was wondering if they were the writer or the artist or something. I never got around to, checking out the rest of the stuff there. That's weird.
And then next up, I have two Image comics that I really love, two number ones. I don't think I've seen second issues yet. Plastic and Regression. Plastic is, I think, 4 or 5 issues, and
I have the first issue of that, Phil.
Oh, did you read it?
I heard that was violent.
Yeah, it's. I got it because the cover is so cool. At least the cover I got. It's a guy's severed head in a Ziploc bag, and it says potty mouth, and his tongue is cut out with a fork through the tongue and the table. I don't know if you got that cover, Andrew.
Wait, give me a vamp for a minute. Let me quick grab it.
Sure. And so I'll go with Regression, the other one first. Another really well-drawn comic by Cullen Bunn and Danny Luckert. And basically it's about a guy who just has kind of like these daydreams and stuff about bugs coming out of people and just like really freaky shit.
So Swarm doesn't show up here, right?
No, nothing like that. It's very like normal people. And basically it's him going to a hypnotist because this is like a last resort to try and get the information out of him because he can't remember anything from his childhood kind of thing. And by going to see the hypnotist, it kind of brings out the worst of it out, kind of thing. And that's all I really know so far from the first issue, but it looks like a lot of supernatural type stuff.
Well, Cullen Bunn has really carved out that that niche of like horror comics and weird, creepy stuff.
Yeah, did he ever release like a ultimate collection of Six Gun?
I think they they don't have an omnibus, but they have these really big and clunky hardcovers. Like it's
because I collected the first half of the series, and I really want to get the rest. But
I had the other one of the other covers, the one where it's just him and like the plastic brush.
Okay. Yep.
So that's the one. I have the Andrew Robinson cover, I believe. Yeah, I'm not sure. Andrew Robinson. He did the fifth Beatle book, and he also did a bunch of like the variant covers for some of the Cat Winter Soldier type. He does like kind of a retro-y style. It's very nice.
I think he did this cover too.
Yeah, I mean, I
oh,
I don't
oh,
know.
No, sorry, no, it was. Yeah, I think it was.
Oh no, you had the Daniel Hillard cover.
Oh okay.
Yeah, there's a cover A. Oh, it looks like he did do two covers though, and I have one of the covers. Yeah, they really like doing all these crazy covers. I must have had, I think, the standard issue cover. But Doug Wagner, Daniel Hillard, Laura Martin. Yeah.
I'm definitely going to get the bag covers because the next one is a guy. It's a Ziploc bag with a guy's head and it says scribbles and then there's his severed hand shoved in his mouth. But yeah, either way, they're all cool covers from what I remember. But yeah, basically it's just a story about, it starts off with him with his plastic doll girlfriend in a car, like in the middle of nowhere. And, or was it a real girl?
No, I think she is either he can transform her or he just imagines it is how I took it to be. Like, I couldn't tell if she really does.
Well, no, it is a plastic doll for sure. But at the start, I can't remember if it was him doing something bad to a real girl or not. I don't think it was.
I mean, you see, what I don't know is it's supposed to be, but I assume it's
I think it's him fucking the plastic doll.
Yes, that's what I think. What I couldn't tell is if, like, the doll can, change or whatever, but I'm pretty sure, because he calls her Virginia in the end, and then he calls her Virginia, like, when you see the doll itself. Because you know those dolls, they always have that surprise look on their face.
Yeah. Wonder why. And, basically he goes to this, like, gas station in the middle of nowhere, and these hicks think the doll's a real girl sitting in the seat of the car. So they kind of, like, he kind of goes out there and kicks all their asses in a serial killer type way, pretty much. Like, really kind of kick ass. Yeah, and then so, like, the hick town, like, some of the higher up ones, I guess, the mayor or whatever of the city, was related to some of the guys he fucked up. And so basically they kidnap his plastic doll and they make him do stuff because he's like an old agent or something like that. He's just all messed up in the head. Did you like that one, Andrew, that issue?
I thought that it was a clever premise. I just didn't know if... and the pacing and the storytelling was well. I just felt that, while I liked the character, it just seems like we've been down this road before about, like, the crazy killer guy and how he can just go in and do anything. I mean, I did like, I assume there's going to be some twist about more to do with the kind of his association with plastic or what he can do with plastic or something.
I think it's as simple as he just likes fucking the plastic doll. He thinks it's like that movie,
Real Lars and the Real Girl or whatever.
Yeah, it's just like exactly like that. That's probably what it's inspired by.
Okay. I can see it. I just was like, I don't know. The other issue I felt was, while I enjoyed it, it didn't seem like it was anything I needed to get in floppy form. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, well, it was a fine issue, but I'm like, I think that this is clearly, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it feels like it's maybe 4 or 5 issues, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I just bought the issue at random, but the way it reads, it feels like, oh, this has got a story. But this is the 12-gauge imprint. I don't know if that means anything to people.
I think I've gotten other stuff from them. I didn't notice that. Oh, yeah.
I mean, part of it was just I was looking at issues and I just buy random comics based on whatever. So
yeah, I buy a lot of number ones since we do this show usually.
Yeah, it's fun.
And then I got the one-shot Jughead the Hunger, The Return of Archie Horror, and then it leaving again. what can I say? It was a fun one shot of just Jughead becoming a werewolf, basically, and ties nothing into the horror universe as a whole. I thought it was going to be a one shot about Jughead, you know, as a zombie kind of thing. Like, I thought it was going to tie into the main series, but it didn't. But still fun that they expanded it. But you know what I mean? Nothing else is coming out. The Sabrinas, they said, were coming out. I haven't seen them unless I missed them. But
yeah.
And as we mentioned in the last one, Phil, I do have Sword Quest number 0.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we talked about last week. That was in the stack with plastic.
I'm excited for their other one, too, Centipede, which is going to be like...
I know what Centipede's about, Phil.
Yeah, but it's just the comics.
People back to back to back, and I had a feeling like you'd be into that.
Kaiju one. It's going to be cool. No, I don't. I actually don't like those movies. I kind of avoided them.
So when are they doing Dig Dug? Like some crazy hopped-up mutants digging underground.
Phil, next would probably be something like the Space Invaders or whatever they're popular, like space
animals. But how are they going to sew their mouths to their anuses in Space Invaders?
Look at you. That's why we have a restricted label at the beginning. You're talking about people shitting in their mouths. And and then another one is Briglands, which Andrew sent me. Read the first issue of that. Did you read that, Andrew, before you sent it?
Yeah, I believe we talked about it, because remember, that was the one where I accidentally bought 2 number ones.
Well, you sent me another one, too. I can't remember what it was called.
Or was that the one where I bought the 2 number? I can't.
The Circle.
Yeah, I'm frequently buying the same. Well, I think the Circle was the one you said, one of those two you said you missed. You wanted to buy it, and it was out of stock. So I was like, I know I had 2 copies of one of those books. So I was like, oh, I'll just send one to Phil. And the other one, I think I just sent you. I think the Circle might have been the one I was like, it was a fine book, but it didn't do much.
But no, it didn't grab me either. It was just in maybe the second issue would have, but in the first issue, just nothing really happened.
Yeah, so I was like, I'll send it to Phil. He likes that stuff. But Briglands was though, the one, yeah. I liked that's one I had two copies of accidentally. Yeah.
That one I liked a lot. It was kind of like, I even liked how they had kind of like a, like they showed Conan in one thing. Like they talk about a warrior and they have a picture of a guy who looks just like Conan. How he kind of like freed the kingdom and stuff. But I just love this type of fantasy type tale. The only thing that distracted me is that the girl main character had pink hair. I just think, how would she have had pink hair back then, you know? I guess they could have dyed it certain ways, but it just seems like, I don't know, it was distracting. But yeah, it's just them trying to kind of steal an item. I forget what the item is or if they even said it. And them kind of getting in some trouble, but I'm definitely going to keep collecting that or get the trade. And one last one, Copperhead came back. 11, 12, and 13 came out, and then I think there's 14, and I think that's it again, possibly, or another break. But it's a different artist, not as good art, but I missed number 11, so I only read 12 and 13. And once I started reading it, I got right back into it again, and I was enjoying it, the universe again. But at the same time, it seems like so much happened in 11, I was so lost. Like, now Boo is mayor, not a cop anymore. And he was one of my favorite characters, and now he's just, it's just not the same anymore. So I didn't really like that part too much. But otherwise, if you like the first 10 issues, it's definitely worth picking this up when the trade comes out, maybe.
Oh, for sure. I just missed that when it came back, so that means I'm already behind the eight ball on that. But yeah, I like Faber's writing, so I'm sure. I mean, I haven't seen the new artwork, but I'll definitely get it. Just with my irregular schedule, it's hard to get to the store.
I think you didn't believe that it was coming back, because I said, hey, it's in previews catalog, and you're like, that's not out yet.
Yeah,
I don't believe previews catalog. It's all just a tissue of lies.
Because I think Farber has a new book in the latest catalog again.
That's right. Yeah, I forget what it was, but I think it was something I was very interested in. But yeah, he does have something new. And also Image, I think.
Yeah.
And, until it's in the stores, I don't believe it exists.
And even then.
All right, Kevin. Now, why don't you give us some of the fine books you bought at TCAF, or if you want to talk about other stuff. But what did you pick up?
What did I pick up? You remember Titan? Remember I went at length on one of the issues or a couple of the issues of Titan?
I love Titan. Well, like the company?
No, the comic from Study Group.
I think I remember that. That's a space one, right?
Yeah, taking place on Titan. That my little Titan subgenre of books I like to read. we all focus on Titan.
Yeah, I think I remember liking the sound of that one. That, so this is a new book?
Well, this is the last issue now, issue 5.
Okay, so it's 5 like normal issues, size issues type thing?
Yeah, but it's kind of funny because they had the collection there already, but it was published in they don't have an English edition yet, but the first edition, the collected edition there was only in French. So I assume at some point they'll get around to doing a collection of it in English too. But the thing about the collected edition is it's black, white, and one other color. So
what other color?
Because a single issue is every issue was a different color. So when I saw the collection was just one color all the way through, I'm like, I kind of like the single issues better because every issue was a different one.
Do you parlez-vous français, Kevin?
Not so much, but you could learn, right? If you had the single issues and the French collection, maybe you could learn.
Oh, yeah, learning a language? No problem.
Yeah.
I've heard people, a lot of the artists that we know from foreign countries learn English through the comics. I have those Italian comics.
Isn't it like the dumb language?
Yeah. But I'm like, man, I looked at them Italian comics. I'm like, I'm too stupid to figure out Italian from reading these comics. So,
are you going to Google Translate it, get a rough rough idea.
Well, remember, I bought one or two of the Marvel ones, so I knew already. Like, I mean, I bought one or two of the Diabolique ones, but I bought those Marvel ones because I was curious. And, you know, like I said, all the Stan Lee stuff and everything. So, yeah. But I don't know how people got to be a lot smarter than I am to figure that out.
You got to have a bigger love of comics, right, Ann? Like, how much do you love comics, really?
Yeah, but I just read the ones, I just don't understand them. I just look at the pretty pictures.
So I got one of those German comics while I was there. It's always funny. Like, this is a thing. Like, you have people there that only speak certain levels of English, right? Because there's all these international guests and whatever. And it's always interesting. As long as they can give you a book and you can give them money, you can exchange comics and products and everything, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I picked up a German cat comic.
Does it have a title?
I'm like, I got to get something from the German booth.
You know what? At the start of the episode, I was going to say for sure Kevin picked up something with a cat in it. I knew it.
So what's the name of this comic book, Kevin?
Milo Meow.
Milo Meow, and who?
So you're
a
new advanced reading now. Good.
From Von Leah Hopp.
Now, are these like comics that are produced by a big time German publisher? Or are these like hand stapled type covers?
Or you were in a library, you might have grabbed a children's book by accident.
I know. No, these are your typical, like, smaller-sized,
handmade,
stapled comic strip type. Like the typical thing you would find in a show like this.
Okay.
They had other stuff, too.
I don't think that comic is like that
catalog. Like, you know those museum catalogs where they have, like, all the stuff that's, you know, exhibiting in this certain show. Like, you could buy, like, a catalog up there.
Museum catalogs, like, all the time.
That's actually a good idea, though. Like, the catalog. Like, how much is the catalog?
Why go to the museum, then?
No, but the idea is that, like, last night we went, there's a place by, not too far from us, a Van Eaton Galleries, and they do big Disney memorabilia auctions. A lot of the stuff is expensive, like, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars on these items.
Like Mickey Mouse?
Yeah, just like stuff people stole from the park like 50 years ago, like signs and things like outfits and costumes and ephemera. But what they do is they put out these books that is just a collection of the auction items. So they're actually pretty cool because you can just flip through. Because I like to look at the stuff, but I'm not paying like, you know, $1,000 for some popcorn tin from 40 years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, God bless people that do. But it's nice to kind of flip through the book and you just see all this. Like, they got old maquettes and, like I said, costumes and statues and signs and maps and just weird different ephemera from here and there. And so I think it's cool you have it all in one thing. And if you don't want to buy anything, you can just buy the book and then see all the stuff.
No, it's true, and get it out of your system.
But anyways, Kevin, so you don't know how much the little book costs, though?
No, I don't.
So that didn't interest you? You're like, F that. I'm just going to buy the comics I want. Screw all these other shitty comics.
He's in the business now. He can do this.
Yeah.
If he doesn't like it afterwards, he can just sell it for twice the value.
No, it was kind of interesting, but I don't know. So sometimes you have to be in the mood or whatever.
So was your...
Like, I took some pictures of the things that were on display there. Like, it was cool and enough for me to look at the stuff there, but to buy a thing, I was just like, I don't know.
So Milo Meow, is that in German or French or what? Or is it no language? Like, is it like Owly with no dialogue at all?
No, it's in English.
Oh, but I think that's the cat's name. For some reason, I thought it'd be in German.
That's the cat...
Meow does not count as English.
No, but that's the cat's name.
Okay, give us some facts. What does this cat do?
So how many volumes of this did you buy, Kevin? Like 40s? Did you do a fill where you just bought like every...
No, I didn't buy as much this year, which is weird, but... you know, I don't know. I guess I should have been more experimental in my purchases, but I had other places to go, other places to see, so maybe that played into the thing. But anyhow, I got a Zelda tribute comic.
Oh, cool.
Called Lost Realm by Dylan Burnett. So I'm like, ooh, Zelda. That's an easy Zelda.
You're one of those brainwashed Zelda Switch fans. Are ya?
Huh?
Wait, so was this another one of those, like, hand-stapled, like, tribute, or is this, like, a big publisher?
No, it's a small hand-stapled type of deal there, too.
There is a big collection at my comic store that's, like, half price. I've always looked at that's, like, a Zelda. I guess it's the Japanese stuff, I imagine, that I've always kind of eyed out a bit, thinking of getting.
It's not the comic from Nintendo Power? Hey, speaking of which, I sold a lot of Nintendo Powers at the yard sale thing.
Like the actual comic line? Or the magazine?
Magazines.
Oh, okay. I used to get that, yeah.
So did this event you went to, did it have like some official title or something? Or was it just a bunch of people got together? Like, was it a thing?
It's just a downtown get-together thing, like buy a table, set up type of thing.
Have like the festival of shit to sell to people or something.
No, they just call it the downtown's largest yard sale of the year, because where else are you going to find like 150 yard sailors, right?
I don't know. I wasn't sure what the pitch was. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes they pitch these things as, like, folk festivals or art festivals.
No, this definitely is not any, like, official festival, because there's tons of other things for that. So this is just more of a general thing where people can just come down and set up.
Were there balloons? Because festivals have balloons.
There was balloons, and there was entertainment for, like, a few hours where some local musicians show up and cover some songs and everything, but it's big enough like for the city, but it's not an official festival thing. It's just something put on by the downtown.
Okay, one last thing, Kevin, and you gotta answer this, okay?
Uh-oh.
What the hell did that cat do in that comic? I need to know.
It licked itself. It went That's to it? Sleep. You know, cat things.
Seriously?
Well, I talked about What's Michael before. That was a cool Japanese cat comic. Like, cat comics. Like, what do people do in comics? They go around murdering people, you know, lamenting about their life.
Why would you buy a comic about a cat doing normal things?
I haven't read the whole thing yet. Maybe something weird happens
in there.
This
is why you're selling comics, because you're buying comics like this.
You gotta support the different people that show up.
Yeah, you gotta support the local German artist flying
the town. Whose only word he knows is meow.
There's probably some local comic guy struggling that Kevin walked right by, so he could buy the German guy's book.
Yeah, I can hear him now. Well, I can't speak English, so I'll just do a comic about a cat licking his anus.
Well, that's like the bands, right? That they're like, well, we're not from Montreal, but if we put Montreal in our name, maybe people will think we're from there, so then they'll buy our album and they'll think it's real cool. Anyhow, I got the fifth issue of Pope Hats from Ad House Books. I always drop by Ad House Books too, because, you know, ever since like the early like days of 11 o'clock comics board, it seems like there's been some sort of connection between Ad House Books and the 11 o'clockers.
Well, Ad House, they're a real publisher. They're not.
Yeah, they are, stapled. But very small.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, they're not. They're a substantial difference than those guys that are hand folding and stapling, in my mind, anyways.
Oh yeah. Like, this is a full size comic with the glossy cover and everything like that. And I also, at the tabling at the same place, was the Black Mask Space Riders. So I know Steve talked about that before. So I thought, well, might as well pick up that that trade paperback, and then Tarantula, which was by the same writer. So, and it's a hardcover. It's a little smaller than the Black Mask trade, so I thought, yeah, I might as well pick this up as well, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're doing well to pick up all these exciting books. I just was trying to give a feeling for the listener and myself as to, are these, you know, from a publisher versus, you know, the hand... Because the odds of them running across one of these hand-stapled jobs are pretty slim.
I wouldn't say that you have good chance of running across Pope hats either, but yeah, from something from Ad House, I guess if you go to a better stocked comic store, yeah, you might run across some Ad House books stuff.
Oh, for sure, and you can get Ad House stuff online.
How long have they been around for?
Oh boy,
long time now.
Yeah, got to be over 10 years.
Yeah,
but it's not like they have a book in every previews.
No, but they obviously know what they're doing if they're still around.
And they're also well-known, I think, at least among people that like indie comic books. They're not unheard of.
Yeah, that's true. Like, they're not like the other big-level indie publisher, like Fantagraphics, has a huge space there, but you know how crazy well-known they are.
Yes.
And then you have your other... I don't know if I would say slightly smaller, but Chronic Quarterly and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I'm sure now that didn't Top Shelf get purchased by IDW, so they probably were there, I would think.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I know we had...
Are they too big for you now that they're with IDW, Kevin?
Well, it was funny. Like, we had... There was a panel a couple of years ago where there was the guy that that does the artist editions. Like, he was at TCAF and he was answering some questions. And of course, I didn't ask about the Ditko artist edition at the time.
Yeah,
I'm sure he would have enjoyed that. Oh, another one of those freaks.
Oh, he gets plenty of freaks at those panels. You can take my word for it. And I'm not just talking about me.
And then I had to stop by, since I also learned about this from 11 O'Clock Comics, Matthew Allison's Kangor. So this is I don't know how you would describe it, but it's crazy, like monster-ish, detailed, I guess you would say, weird kind of comic.
Like Stoke?
But it's like, it's full size. I would say it's not like a pamphlet, though. It's like, you know, full size comic goodness with like heavy stock, almost like cardboard cover type of thing. So I'd be interesting to see where all these different things were like made or produced, or I never think of saying like, hey, tell me your secrets about what you did to print out your comic, right?
Doesn't it say printed in wherever?
Yeah, a lot of them actually are printed in Canada, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And China, I think, are the two. That's because
it's cheaper here because we're not run by a warlord.
Still? Whoa, we're getting political. Whoa. Still nothing compared to American political stuff, though.
Canada. Those hot button Canada political.
I know, right?
This will have us trending soon, you know, if you touch
in Canada.
Topics.
It's like, yeah, so when are we legalizing that pot? Well, you know, the situation is, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. Sorry. Yeah, yeah, we got to. Anyhow, that's the hot button issues here, right?
Well, I have a comic book, if we're still going on comics.
I have more comic books too, Andrew.
Well, you've been talking plenty.
Yeah, come on the next show and do.
Holy cow.
Jesus. And now I that tell he's you, become a big time stack this time.
Now that he's become a big time comic.
I do a lot, I go quick.
Kevin's turned, now that he's turned into Chuck Rosansky, we can't hold Kevin back. All right. I'm just going to talk about one comic, Kevin. Don't worry, then we'll get back to you. This was one I had sitting on a pile. I thought of it because of IDW, because I went to one of their panels and they were just giving these out to anyone that showed up. I don't remember what show it was at, but it's the Treasury edition of the Rocketeer Adventures.
Oh, cool.
So it's like oversized, like this big, tall. It's much, much more taller. It's only a little bit more wider, but it's, you know, significantly taller. So it's a fun size. Like, I'm like, this is a great book. And it was free. They just handed it out to us. And it's, so it's all these people doing a take on Dave Stevens' character. So it's
how many pages is it about?
Like 70 some odd pages.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it ends with a Jeff Darrow double page spread of the Rocketeer, like flying with two machine guns, taking on, you know, World War II fighters, but with this sort of detailed work, you know, and all the different gun shell casings and everything, and lots of action and explosions firing over. I guess I can't tell if they're over London or where they're over, because you can see some of the ornate buildings in the corner. But this oversized is so much fun. So it's got stories by John Cassaday, with the colors by Laura Martin, Kurt Busiek and Michael Kaluta with Dave Stewart colors, Lowell Francis, Gene Ha with Dave Stewart colors, Mark Guggenheim, Sandy Plunkett, Stan Sakai did a one, Tom Taylor and Colin Wilson, David Laffam, Chris Sprouse, Carl Story, and Jerry
Blair. I like Blair. Chris Sprouse a lot.
David Mandel and Jay Bone, and Darwin Cook. Wow. So it's like a fun mix. That's
really good.
Yeah, yeah, isn't it? Of people doing, you know, and they're all like, you know, four or five pages. But on these big pages, they're really, like, this. I was like, this is a great thing. Because I like that they have people that are doing more, like, you know, the more kind of realistic Dave Stevens style. But then you get your Stan Sakai, who's doing it Stan Sakai style. What I like about that is he's in a Midwestern farmhouse, and he runs into a bad kid named Lex and a good kid named Clark, who dreams he could fly, and he takes him for a ride. And Clark's parental figures are Martha and Kent. So it's kind of like Rocketeer dropped into the Superman world. But a lot of war stories. And just, yeah, the art. Like, everyone, I think, wants to do right by the Rocketeer.
Well, they sound like all people who would be fans of it.
Yeah, so I think that this was probably done as a labor of love, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But the David Mandel, Jay Bone might is one of the I like, because it's funny, because he ends up in an alternate dimension, and his interpretation of what's going on, we get it translated, is completely wrong. Like, he thinks he's the hero, but he's actually the bad guy. Like, he sees this bad guy beating someone up, but it's actually a policeman. So he's like, so everything, like, he's like, I'm the hero, and he's really the bad guy. And another one I really like is the Darwin
Cook, obviously. That's probably kind of new for the Rocketeer, too, because I don't remember any, like, supernatural tales.
This is completely, but the Darwin Cook one, Betty ends up using the rocket pack. And so she's wearing the jacket, but she's got the stockings and garters and everything. And it's just, yeah. It's
and
just
he drew fun. It?
Yeah, yeah. He drew and wrote it. But like I said, they're all short stories. The back, I guess the price on this was only $10, which I think is a steal. I
mean, well, that's great. 70-page book. Yeah, that's normal.
And oversized. Like, the oversized bit. Because you can really take it apart.
Yeah.
And so I was all in all super impressed. And for some reason, it just been sitting on my side. I think because of the oversized helps and hurts, because it doesn't end up in a regular stack, because you can't really put a book that big. And I just have piles of comics everywhere, like some kind of mentally deranged hoarder. So
I love those type of anthologies where it's something like Little Nemo or this, you know, where a bunch of people get together and then write stories on it, something we haven't seen in a while, you know.
Yeah, yeah, especially like you say, when it's clear they're probably all fans of this material. Yeah, I can't imagine the paycheck on this was what was driving it for most of them. So, yeah, I was really, really impressed with the whole thing. But anyways, okay, Kevin, we're back to you now. You can start listening again.
Spotlight's on. Go.
Now, I wonder if I should bring up all these books sometimes, because I'm like, they're going to come back on future shows, right?
Well, usually you have a post-apocalyptic book from these conventions.
Do I?
Yeah. You have nothing post-apocalyptic this time?
I guess some of this stuff is yeah, I don't know if I have a direct a post-apocalyptic book. Like, I have weird books where it's
just... We know you have weird books.
Well, he never finished the cat one, Phil. Maybe the cat's in a post.
No, I got enough info to the cat one. He licks his ass, remember?
Then it's well, maybe he licks his ass in a post-apocalyptic world.
That's true.
Like, I do have more adventures of the Double Plus team. That was sort of a post-apocalyptic... But, you know, not a real sad... Like, that's more of an adventure.
Well, it doesn't have book. To be sad if it's in the post-apocalyptic.
Like, it's Volcano Trash from Koyama Press. But it's also a Ben Sears book, because I also picked up his latest book.
That was the video game, the one that was shaped like a Nintendo cartridge. Is that the one you're talking about, Kevin?
No, this is the one that where this kid and what is it exactly? It's some kind of like a floating robot with arms that has like one eye, and then they go off on adventures, and they get like sort of lost in this mountain maze. And I always talk about it like it was like a minecart Donkey Kong level as they travel through this entire complex. Mm-hmm. But you can tell that the world was like messed up. And the guy sort of wears like goggles, like a Cyclops type of sort of. Like there's tons of little mini comics and pamphlets and then bigger books and everything. Like, I guess they just keep on putting out more and more adventures. And this is like I think this is probably the first full size thing. Like, full length story. They probably just enjoyed the character, so then it just, you know, you keep on drawing the same stuff, and then eventually it gets somewhere, right? And it has a quote from Brandon Graham on the back.
All right, Phil, do you have anything else for us? Or should we consider this a little mini-episode?
I'll just do it an honorable message. You guys have to pick up the rest of Vampirella. I know I talk about it a lot now, but it's the third issue just came out of regular issues. And it just gets better and better every issue that goes by. When the trade will be out soon, I'm sure. But I think that's one you two should revisit again, because I know you read the Zero issue
for 25 cents. How does Dynamite do their trades? Like, on the regular? Or...
You know what? It's been so long since I picked up one of their trades. Like, the last trade I picked up was Red Sonja trades. And, I don't remember.
It doesn't seem like they do that many trades. Like, the amount of books they produce, like, I don't really see a lot of trades.
Vampirella, I feel, though, that would come out in trade. Though,
yeah.
Especially this run, because this run is just this is epic. Like, this is, you know, when Prophet was redone.
Yes.
This is like that, like, kind of thing. I find. Mm. Or Glory, or any of those ones.
That's certainly high praise indeed.
Yeah, I think you guys should definitely give it another try, because I'm sure the trade won't be that much.
All right, I think that's a good place to tie this off. Is our another little mini episode on our countdown to 400.
Which, but Kevin, Andrew, I have more books.
Kevin assures us that 400 is going to be a huge extravaganza coming out in a timely fashion.
Although we're doing like those Marvel point issues, basically. So we're doing up to 8.
Although something tells me, I don't think $3.99 is up yet. So I don't know if these episodes will ever get posted, dear listeners, but... We're going to keep making them, dang it. And you all keep reading those independent comics. And keep watching the skies.
Right. How about a UDWFG comic? Thank you.